we're doing here tonight is practicing using the third of the three refuges, or three gems. There's Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And actually, we divide these meetings up into those units. And my general format is half hour for Buddha, half hour for Dharma, half hour for Sangha. And the Buddha is transitioning from the, as Buddha put it in many suttas, the ordinary run-of-the-mill untrained mind to Buddha mind, which we all possess. It's just crowded out by that run-of-the-mill ordinary untrained mind. Dharma is when one of us teachers gives a Dharma talk. We make an effort to pass on the teachings that have been handed down for 2,500 years and endeavor to make it relevant to today in your lives. And then the third section, which is of equal stature, equal value to the others, is Sangha, which means spiritual friends. The Pali term for it is Kalyanamita. And that includes teacher, other Sangha members, sometimes the taxi driver, but people with whom we can connect on a spiritual level. In the Dhammapada, Buddha says over and over how important it is to hang out with the wise people and to avoid spending time with fools and jerks. And he's quite blunt about it. Don't spend your time with them. Hang out with the people who are going to support your progress toward happiness. And then there's this wonderful, famous exchange with Ananda, who is his cousin and kind of like his valet, the person who took care of Buddha's needs. He's also kind of the fall guy in the suttas. He's the one who always gets the answer wrong, so Buddha can correct him. And he, in this famous exchange, he says, "Isn't it right, Lord, that spiritual friends are the greatest part of the spiritual life?" And Buddha says, "Oh, Ananda, don't say that. Good friends, wise friends, are the whole of the spiritual life." And it's easy to think that this is an overstatement. But really, when you let yourself sink in to the meaning of it, it's absolutely true. And in order to help us sink into the meaning of Sangha, I'm going a lot to Thich Nhat Hanh for help. He is very clear and very emphatic about what Sangha is. I'm also taking the benefit of Deb's Dharma talk last week, which was on dependent origination and also transcendent dependent liberation. How we can use this soup of causality, which is the universe as we know it, which usually mires us in samsara, a world of delusion, in which we have lost track of our true nature. What we really are is quite different from our idea of ourselves. We are this interconnected result of everything that's come before. We are the result of causes and conditions that manifest in this moment's experience. And some of those causes and conditions have brought about suffering. And we can transcend that. That's pretty much what Deb was talking about last week. But a great aid in transcending it is Sangha. Thich Nhat Hanh says, "It is difficult, if not impossible, to practice the way of understanding and love without a Sangha, a community of friends who practice the same way. In my country, we say that if a tiger comes down from the mountain, he will be caught by humans and killed. Practicing without a Sangha is like that. Society has so much momentum in the direction of forgetfulness that we need the support of friends to help us keep in touch with our deepest desire to love and help all beings." This seems like a solitary practice, and there is a danger in that because it's contrary to the key insight of Buddhas of anatta and interdependence. This interconnection between causes and conditions. There's a dialogue on Thich Nhat Hanh's Plum Village site in which someone says, "When we realize our true nature of interbeing, we naturally seek to connect with others by sharing our practice and seeking the support and guidance of our fellow practitioners." And I'll say it here kind of at the beginning, and then I'll repeat it later, that the reason we naturally seek this out is in large part because when we connect with other people on a spiritual level, we escape the prison of thinking we are separate selves. This connection gives us an open door to freedom. On a more mundane level, we have a basic urge to join a sangha, to go sit with other people. You know, I do a lot of teaching meditation online and in person, and most beginning students say, "Oh man, I really need to sit with other people because when I'm by myself, I just don't have the discipline. I don't feel the support." And any teacher will tell you, anyone who's been to a long retreat, or even a day long, that there's an energy in the room when people sink into mindfulness that supports everyone else. It's just a wonderful experience. We're not making it up. It's real. So practicing with a Sangha feels easier and more natural, and it offers this strong support for the sitting. According to Thich Nhat Hanh, the Sangha's role is to create environments where people can succeed in their practice. Kind of a revolutionary idea that our purpose in coming here, besides having everyone else prop us up as we sit, it's also to help each other succeed in doing what we've set out to do. Thich Nhat Hanh says, "Interpersonal relationships are the key. With the support of even one person, you develop stability. And later, you can reach out to others." So maybe that one person is the teacher. Maybe it's the person sitting next to you, someone you remember from old meetings, whatever. But when we come here, we are helping everyone to succeed. And the tools are here. They're in the ideas of the Dharma and primarily in our goodwill and loving kindness that we offer to all beings, and especially the people who are here. When I dedicate the merit at the end of every meeting, it's for each of us and all of us as a group that we offer the goodness from our practice together, and then to all beings, rippling out. I have another quote from Thich Nhat Hanh. He says, "Sangha building is the most important art for us to learn." It's an art. We have to learn it. Even if we are a skilled meditator and well-versed in the suttas, if we don't know how to build a sangha, we cannot help others. We have to build a sangha that is happy, where communication is open. And that means that we have to be what we say. Through our practice, we become happier. We appreciate the value of proactive honesty and receptive communication, listening deeply to each other and offering up in response whatever we consider carefully to be helpful. Sangha building is not about proselytizing or converting people to Buddhism or our Sangha. We're not building a cult here. What we're doing is we're practicing generosity at a very deep level, offering others the way to happiness, help along the way to happiness. And here I am saying it again, it's that connection with others in a way that is the most powerful method to escape the prison of the self. Breaking through that delusion that we are separate entities. And experiencing in that moment the real interconnectedness that we have. Now, in this Sangha, as in all of them, there is a difference in temperaments and personalities, and that one person who can support someone in their practice may not be the same for everyone. So, that's another reason why groups are good, because you get a variety in personality and temperament. And you can pick the person that you're going to go to for support. Thich Nhat Hanh says, "A sangha in which each person is like an island, not communicating with each other, is not helpful. It is just a collection of trees without roots. Transformation and healing cannot be obtained in such an atmosphere." And I know, because I attended for many years a sangha that, to me, felt that way when I started. I didn't know any better. It was a very nice zendo. It smelled good. It was quiet. I got to sit there and really concentrate. And then there was a bunch of stuff that happened that I didn't understand. It was zen. And then people would go out and have tea and cookies and not talk to me. I attended it off and on for 5 years. I went up to the abbot. I had a hard time connecting with him. I didn't connect to anybody. And then, somewhere in the meantime, I started volunteering at the Zen Hospice Project. And the volunteer meetings were a revelation to me, because it was a group of very kind, very helpful people. And I blossomed. I just, it was like, you know, after being in the cold, I was thrown into a hot tub all of a sudden, and I just, well, blossomed is all I can tell you. Then I started attending Vipassana groups, the lesbian Buddhist Sangha. I got drafted onto the program committee where I didn't belong, and I did that for 3 years or so, and then I decided to do what sounded like fun to me, and I threw Sangha salons every couple of months, have people over and have a little bit of a program, and then, you know, just popcorn and tea and cookies, and everybody got to talk, get to know each other. I started a Monday night sitting group about 10 plus years ago, just by going there and inviting people to join me. You know, 10 years past, there's been a tremendous amount of growth, and it's a very tight-knit group that is also welcoming to newcomers and drop-ins. When I started teaching at Alameda Sangha, my Monday night group was a little jealous. And it's like, well, you know, who are they? How are they doing? I'd say, well, it's wonderful. I love it. They're not quite a Sangha yet for a little over a year. And then around the time that we moved here, y'all started talking to each other. And I was very happy to report, and of course, by that time, the Monday night group was over its jealousy. It said, they are a Sangha. They have gelled. Thich Nhat Hanh says, it is a rare opportunity to be with people who practice deeply together. The Sangha is truly a gem. And we have built this Sangha through picnics, through day-longs, through the Yahoo groups, thank you, Mary, through the website, thank you, Susan, through the midweek meditation, thanks to John and David. And I know that there are clusters of you who will go to outside events to hear particular teachers or go to Spirit Rock. It's wonderful to know what a vital, vibrant Sangha this has become. And I think one more quote from Thich Nhat Hanh, and then I'm going to just come exclusively to this Sangha. He says, you will never find a perfect Sangha. An imperfect one is good enough. Rather than complain too much about your Sangha, do your best to transform yourself into a good element of the Sangha. Accept the Sangha and build on it. And you do it. You do it. And it's wonderful to see. And it's wonderful to be a member of this Sangha. And even though Thich Nhat Hanh may sound like he's discouraging you from complaining, I want to encourage you to do so. You don't need to be petulant, but in any complaint is the seed of improvement. And we need that. That's part of the open communication, to meet whatever needs exist. We've got to work together in order to transform those ideas into a better Sangha. And Alameda Sangha does have difficulties. We started out for several years as a small Sangha, intimate, and then it grew. It's kind of doubled in size. It goes back and forth, you know, but we range these days from anywhere from 20 to 40 people at a time. And when it gets up toward 40, there are a lot of people who feel a little alienated. And it's perfectly understandable. People who are shy have a little difficulty participating in the discussion. So one thought that's crossed my mind is a littler group, a Kalyanamita group, that studies or gets together and discuss their practice. And I'd love to see that happen. I can't do it. But if anybody is interested in that, I'll help you however I can. We now have three teachers, all of whom have disabilities. And that means that we do need help with meetings. And you've been forthcoming, and I really appreciate it. We need to get it just a little better organized, both the setup and the afterwards, so that whoever is teaching that night can be free to be in the role of the teacher rather than the setup director and be able to talk to people who come up with questions or comments afterwards. The three of us teachers and Anthony before have been doing all the work for the special events, the picnics, the bazaar, classes, retreats. It'd be lovely to have a little help coordinating them. Maybe someone to keep track of who's new and welcome them, or just stand up and welcome newcomers at some point during the meeting. This is not a bunch of chores, like the family needs you to do this before you get to watch television or whatever tonight. It's not a task that we're trying to shoo you into. These are opportunities for Sangha building. Because as you bring your skills and your attention and your engagement to supporting the Sangha, you're going to connect with other people. And you're going to feel that connection, that generosity, that awareness of interbeing in that activity. I know I have. I've built a lot of sanghas. I helped build the East Bay Meditation Center. A lot of sanghas around the Bay Area I've participated in. And always there's that wonderful connection, even though I'm just doing paperwork. So we're getting it together, and we have turned a bit of a corner here because we now have a Sangha building coordinator. You know, all of these things that would be on my ideal wish list, it's really too much for us teachers to think of, well, who can do this? Or invite people to volunteer. But we have a volunteer to do that. And so I would like to thank Ronald, who... Oh, that's right. I sold you volunteer coordinator. But it's Sangha building coordinator. We discovered that we had this great candidate after the picnic when all of a sudden I realized all three of us teachers were leaving the scene at the end, and we knew what needed to be done, but we couldn't be there to see that it got done. So I went over to Ron and I said, would you coordinate this? And I told him what it was, where the bags were, what needed, who was coming at such and such a time, and waved goodbye. And the reports later were that it worked like a charm, and you all had a pretty good time doing it. So, recruited the talent. And Susan's role is also maturing, as Pauletta is letting go of some of the huge amount of work she's been doing for the Sangha. Susan is going to be taking over publicity, which is very important. She is our tech coordinator, which includes, she's been doing all of our website and some of our Gmail and hand-holding. So thank you very much. And thank you, Ron. Thank you all for listening to me.